With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
122 guitars. 732 strings. 257 pickups. 189 volume knobs. Here Harold stood, face to face with his oldest desire.
I turned my camera on, I cut my fingers on the way, the wave's slipping away. I turned my feelings on, you made me untouchable for life.
Yeah, you wasn't alone. And welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. This is our sidetrack episode for the week. My name's Quentin. Got my brother Travis with me. And we are covering the soundtrack for the 2006 movie Stranger Than Fiction. This movie is just chock full of Spoon. So we decided to finish up our Spoonathon with one last go around with some spoonage for our sidetrack this week. Travis, when was the last time you saw this movie?
Probably within the last 5 years, but
it's really good, man.
It's been
a
while.
I watched it again last night.
Yeah,
it holds up.
Yeah, it's great, man. You know why, dude? Because it's Will Ferrell not being over the top, like right off the bat. You know what I mean?
It's Will Ferrell not being cast just to be Will Ferrell, you know? And he's actually a pretty legit actor.
Yeah, it's like when Jim Carrey is cast for like The Majestic or something.
Or The Truman Show.
Or one of those other movies.
Yeah.
Or Eternal Sunshine, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, he's actually got some chops, you know?
Right. Yeah, so it's a really cool movie. I don't know if we want to talk about the movie.
Well, Q, this isn't a movie review.
Huh?
This isn't a movie review podcast. It's a music review podcast.
You're right. But to make a little bit of sense, to make some sense behind that intro, main character Will Ferrell wakes up one day and he is hearing his life being narrated in his head by a woman who he finds out later is a writer who is writing a book on his life. So that's all you need to know. And the clip that we pulled for the intro, you find out that this guy has always wanted to learn to play guitar, and he, you know, finally gets off his ass and goes out and buys a guitar and tries to learn. During that scene, Spoon's "I Turn My Camera On" is playing the whole time. So I just kind of spliced in the actual song for our intro, but for every Spoon song that you hear on this movie, they've got it edited and looped in a way that you never actually hear Brad Daniels' voice in the scenes throughout this movie. So, but there are quite a few Spoon songs that go as far back as girls can tell that pop up in this movie. So you've got "The Way We Get By" on there, which was on "Kill the Moonlight." You've got "My Mathematical Mind," which was actually our intro song for the episode we did last week on Gimme Fiction. And you've got "Vittorio E," which was also on "Kill the Moonlight." So I lied. It doesn't go as far back as girls can tell. But there's a lot of really great Spoon moments in this movie. And there's a few little guitar ditties that Brett Daniel and music supervisor Brian Reitzel put together for different scenes throughout the movie as well. So Brett Daniel had a lot to do with this movie. And I found out through an interview that Pop Matters did with Britt back in 2006. Kind of the backstory behind how he got involved in the first place. Apparently, so again, the music supervisor, so the guy that basically my dream job, right?
Right.
the person exactly. that gets to put together a soundtrack for a movie. This guy's name is Brian Reitzel. He also did the soundtrack for Lost in Translation. He did the soundtrack for Marie Antoinette, which apparently was also another really great soundtrack. I really liked the soundtrack for Lost in Translation. I didn't realize this was the same guy. Apparently, he was listening to a lot of Spoon while he was kind of putting together, trying to figure out songs to put in this movie. It says that he identified the storyline with the Austin band's unique energy. And he took it a step further by calling Britt Daniel to help him with the process.
Well, we've talked about how great of a guitar player Britt Daniel is over the past couple months. So, you know, it's a perfect fit for a movie about a guy who finally gets off his ass and picks up a guitar, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So apparently Reitzel and Daniel bond. They find out that they have a mutual obsession with the soundtrack to this movie called Solaris. I don't know anything about that movie. Do you? Have you ever heard of that?
Did you say Brian Reitzel?
Yeah, Reitzel.
Brian.
With a
yeah,
B.
he's a composer too, man. He's done stuff for like video games and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that in his on his Wikipedia page. Yeah, he's a music supervisor for movies, puts together soundtracks. But yeah, he is a composer.
Dude, he remixed Inside
a musician
Out
himself. What?
He remixed Inside Out on the Inside Out Remixes album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, so obviously cool. Him and Spoon have Britt. Yeah, have collaborated probably many times over.
So they both have a mutual obsession with this soundtrack to a movie called Solaris by Cliff Martinez.
Oh, dude. I've listened to that. Yeah, dude. Cliff Martinez is great, dude. He did Only God Forgives. He did... well, he's done some video game scores, too. That's where I know him from.
Yeah, I know you're really into video game soundtracks.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that'll come up at some point. Dude, Cliff Martinez is also known for doing Drive with Ryan Gosling, right?
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, apparently Britt Daniel, tried to get his girlfriend and his band members into this Solaris soundtrack, and no one was into it. And then he found out that Brian was really into it, too. So, you know, they clicked on that. And then, yeah, from there, it just kind of took off, and Spoon just ends up being all over this movie, like we said. Apparently, Brian thought it would be cool to actually have a Spoon song written and recorded for the movie. And so the official sidetrack for this week is going to be The Book I Write by Spoon, which shows up on this soundtrack. And actually, it's just during the credits. But this was a song that he already had some of the lyrics written out for that. He basically played Brian a bunch of kind of like ideas for songs that he had. And one of them already had the lyric, The Book I Write, in it. And he sort of had like a melody already written. And so then obviously that's a great choice for a movie like this. So they went with it, and he finishes out writing the song, and they record it for the movie. So I guess let's just go ahead and play it, dude. So this is, again, a song that pops up in the movie. It plays during the credits. This is just over 2 minutes long, so we're just going to play the whole song. And this is Spoon's song from 2006 called The Book I Write.
So much to be played.
Another doozy from Spoon, right?
Yeah, that kind of sounds like more, you know, I feel like there's at least one song on each of their albums post Gimme Fiction that sound like that. Just, you know, you're just kind of, I mean, you could even say Sister Jack kind of sounds like that too.
I was going like, to say, I thought it kind of sounded like Sister Jack. And that's the thing, this was a song idea that he had, you know, who knows how long.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder if this was going to show up on as a B-side on a single, or if it was going to be included in an album, you know, down the road, and they just threw it in into for this movie, you know. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, like, this is classic Spoon, obviously. Like, this song sounds like I said, like a lot of their songs have this vibe to them. But I'm not as interested in these songs as I am with maybe some of the other ones that we've played, you know, in the past.
Sure. Yeah, I got you. But there's because, some great like we've moments, said, man.
Because they
there's
do so many
great moments in that song.
Yeah, but you know, just
I love the
they,
whole when he's like, I'm not gonna, dude. I'm not leaving that in. That sounded, sounded like a dying cat.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, like I said, it's got the Spoon signatures that you know we have talked about.
It's got your tambourine and shakers,
exactly,
you know,
right. It's a Spoon song through and through, obviously. And, you know, if this is something that he had already wrote, you know, I wonder if it makes you wonder if he decided to sit down and write a song for the movie instead of like going through his catalog of songs that he was working on, if he would have produced something that maybe sounded different, you know. Because, like I said, it's a Spoon song. Like, it sounds like a Spoon
song.
Right,
and he already kind of had the melody in mind, too.
Yeah.
It's funny, he says here, to be honest, we were a bit worried that it was a little bit too literal. As in, you know, with the lyrics being the book I write.
Right, yeah, sure. No, dude, now that makes me wonder if, are those the lyrics that he had already written?
Well, he says that he already had the lyric, the book I write. So wow, he already at least had that part, you know, that idea or verse
so
or
he
chorus,
was, he
whatever.
Was, he was destined to write this song for this movie, you know? But, you know, let's think about some rock artists that have written soundtracks, right?
Okay.
Maybe like Johnny Greenville, the guitar.
Johnny Greenville?
Not guitar. Hold on.
Greenville.
Hold on, man. Johnny Greenwood.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm right. Leaving that
I'm
going to
take that.
You got to deal with that shame.
No. Because I fucked up when I said guitar-y. I meant guitarist. I said guitar-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Johnny Greenville, you know, he did.
You said Greenville, dude.
Fuck.
You said Greenville again.
So yeah, you know, Johnny Greenwood did the soundtrack to There Will Be Blood. And when you listen to it, you know, you wouldn't know just offhand that he's the guitar player for Radiohead, right?
Right.
So like
among that, other.
Yeah. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is when Johnny Greenwood sits down to do a score for something, he's going to approach it differently than when he does stuff for Radiohead. So
yeah.
If Britt Daniel had approached it like, "Hey, I'm going to you know, this is not a Spoon thing. This is me doing a score for a movie or a song for a movie."
Hey, that's perfect, man. That's perfect for you to bring that up because so the interview that I'm pulling from, the question that was asked to him was, "I was curious how the process differs when you know that the end result of your music is not going to be used for an album, but for a movie." I guess that's not a question, but you know, during the interview, that's kind of what they were, that's what led Britt to talk about, you know, this song idea that he had that had the lyric, "The Book I Write" in it. So Britt goes on to say, "Because there was already some sort of foundation for this song, I didn't really feel like I was writing a commercial, but instead I was just finishing a song." I like how he put it that way, writing a commercial, because that's actually not, I mean, I could see that being the mindset that you would have as a songwriter if, because apparently he got to read the script before jumping on, you know, to work with Brian. So he already knew about the movie. And yeah, if you're a professional songwriter and you get asked to write a song for a movie, you are going to treat it almost like writing a song for a commercial, right? But that's not how it was in this case, because this was an idea that he already had for a song, and so he was just finishing it up. So So I guess that's like going back to what you were saying about Johnny Greenwood. You're saying you wouldn't necessarily right off the bat know, "Hey, this sounds like a Radiohead."
It's not like you hear it and you think, "Oh, obviously that's Johnny Greenwood. It sounds like the stuff he does for Radiohead."
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? That's like you were saying, he's approaching it with a different mindset. But in this case, Britt Daniel was just finishing up a Spoon song, you know, that he already had kicking around. So
maybe what I'm also trying to say is, I would love to hear what Britt Daniel does if he sat down and like composed a score for a movie.
You know, okay, what I mean? Dude, hey, let's do it right now, man. Let's just fucking on the fly here. Let's do that, dude. Because there's a few songs that him and Brian wrote together for specific scenes in the movie, dude. Let's give it a go.
Oh, really? Okay. So but this is in collaboration with Brian, though.
Yes. Okay. But still.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Writer's Block. It's just a piano ballad, but I'm sure it says Britt Daniel / Brian Reitzel for writers on it. So let's play a little bit of that. Well, there you go, dude. What, at any point did you hear Spoon or Britt Daniel in any of that?
I mean, I sure think
as hell didn't.
That piano chord sounds like a Britt Daniel piano chord.
Okay. Who's to say how much of that was Britt and what part of that was Brian? Because you heard some strings, whether they were synthesized are legit, you know, stringed instruments recorded, and that, yeah, and the piano. But yeah, so yeah, like kind of like we were saying, yeah, there's like two different mindsets you have. It's the, all right, I'm in the writing for Spoon, you know, state of mind, and then I'm in the writing for a scene in a movie state of mind, you know. So yeah, that's our sidetrack for this week. To finish off our Spoon-a-thon, we wanted to do one last little episode on Spoon. I thought it worked out pretty well for us, man, that because this movie came out 1 year after Gimme Fiction, which is the, you know, so we're keeping it chronological.
Yeah. It's almost like we sat down and planned this all out a couple months back.
It's almost like we did just that.
Yeah, I did.
So next week. Yeah, dude, I'll let you. Sorry, man. I know you're more excited than I am for this, so go for it.
So we're going to cover Black Sabbath, but we're going to mix it up a little bit as far as how we approach the episode. You know, typically it's one album, and we pick a couple of tracks or three tracks from the album. With this episode, we're going to basically pick a song from their first three albums and do it that way, because I didn't want to stretch this out over three episodes. And I've always wanted to cover their first three albums. And I figured this would be a kind of interesting way to do it, you know, and we'll get to kind of hear a wide range of kind of their sounds. We're going to, you know, hear how they, like what they, you know, came right out of the bat with back in 69.
Yeah.
And, it's going to be fun, man. And it'll be nice to go back to get back to metal. We haven't done a metal episode since episode one. So I love, you know, showing metal to somebody who doesn't really listen to metal and having a chance to like describe it and describe what it is about it that I'm compelled, that compels me, you know, and that I, you know, what makes me come back to it over and over again. So it'll be good times.
Awesome. So for the outro for today, again, I just watched Stranger Than Fiction last night, and I was, you know, just taking some notes for the podcast. And there's a song that pops up towards the end of the movie. It's a song by, this is a band called The Jam, which we actually brought up at some point during our episode on Foals. They like offhandedly mentioned, like, you know, most people were probably listening to The Jam growing up, and we were listening to what do they say, like world music,
right?
You know, which you know, influenced their sound. Anyways, this band The Jam had a song called That's Entertainment that came out in 1980. It was a single off of their fifth studio album called Sound Effects. So this is like a, you know, one of those post-punk bands. And again, it pops up in one of the scenes in this movie. It's great. I enjoyed it. So I thought it'd be a good way to finish up this one and, kind of throw something in there that isn't Britt Daniel. So, again, that's going to do it for us this week for our sidetrack episode. My name is Quentin.
My name is Travis.
Bye-bye. Breaks and that light blinking, that's entertainment.
Give your kitchen the upgrade it deserves with Clearview Cabinetry. Clearview Cabinetry starts as a kitchen built for now and grows with you as life changes. It's flexible by design with full access cabinet construction, so you can go from doors to drawers for storage that works when you need it. Get an appointment-free design consultation and explore all our cabinet options on display in our kitchen showroom and save big money now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.